We completed our study of Mark, and I thought I would do a few studies just on their own about different parts of the Christian life. Just a few individual parts of the Christian life, practical matters that can help us. And today's, as you'll see from the sheet, is about repentance. There's going to be a few short readings as we go on. There's no one main reading. But this study is about the place of repentance in our lives as Christians. If we believed in the Lord Jesus, then what do we have to do with repentance now? Someone says, well, I repented. Yes, it was 10 years ago. I stood up in the church. I put my hand up. I repented of my sins. The pastor prayed. And, well, so what has repentance got to do with me now? And the question which I'm asking is, do you repent daily? Are you repenting as a way of life, a part of your daily life? Is repentance just as much a part of your Christian life as faith, as believing is? I'm going to try and show from the Bible that repentance, a humble, lowly, mourning spirit before God, it's not just something for the start of the Christian life. It's not something that we do and leave behind. But it is something which we need every day and should be normal. So my first point to make is to show you why once is not enough. Why we can't just say, oh, I repented. It was a few years ago when I first became a Christian. I'm going to read from Gospel of Matthew in chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, then in chapter 6, verses 9 to 12. And Jesus is taking his disciples up at the mountain where he's teaching them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Chapter 6, verse 9 to 12 is the Lord's Prayer. He said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Well, first reason why once is not enough is because we've sinned many times since we became Christians. As simple as that. That if we repented then, well, we've sinned since that time. And so we need to repent again. But actually, we sin every day. And so we need to repent every day. As easy as that. We just read from the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. And then what was the next line? Forgive us our trespasses. See, this is it's like a daily prayer. It's what we're to bring to the Lord each time we come to him. And we pray for today's needs. We can't pray for next week's needs, because God looks after us one day at a time. But we pray for today's needs, and that includes today's forgiveness. So do you pray for your bread each day? You pray to say sorry for your sins each day. And Jesus taught them both, and he put them both together. But actually, according to Scripture, our sins, after we've believed, they're worse than the ones from before. Sins committed as a Christian are worse thing than sins committed before becoming a Christian. Because before, we sinned when we're in the darkness. We sinned without knowledge. We sinned in ignorance. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. He wrote about his apostleship and before. And he said, I was once a blasphemer. I was a persecutor and a violent man. But I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. But now we sin in the light. We sin in clear light. You imagine one of your children, and somehow they're away from home in the dark. And on the way back, they get lost. And we have to go and find them, and we'll pity them. And we won't punish them. But suppose that they were just out on an errand, and they're meant to come back, and it's during the day. And they know the way back, they come there often. But they say, let me just go and visit my friend and play with them. Oh, let me just go and walk down there, because it looks interesting down there. Oh, let me go and look at that place. And now they're being naughty, aren't they? Because they know the way home, but they've just chosen to go off the path. They sinned in the light, and it's different. Our sin should actually grieve us more now that we're Christians. Now that we have the Holy Spirit, now that we have so much more knowledge of Christ, we should see it more accurately for what it really is, and so it should hurt our hearts more that we know that we're doing it. If you feel your sins more now that you're a Christian, don't despair about that. Don't feel disappointed. Don't think that there's something wrong with you. Actually, it's good if we see our sins more clearly now. And we should, now that we have more light to shine upon them. It doesn't mean that you're now further from God. It doesn't mean that you're now more wicked and he will despise you. No, it just means the light is coming in more. It's actually, you're growing. You're seeing things more accurately. But it does mean that we need to repent. We have a clearer sign, clearer knowledge of our need for repentance, so we ought to do it. See, now we sin whilst we're carrying the name of Jesus. Before, we sinned as lost people, children of the devil, children of this world, and of course we sinned. That's what lost people do, that's what the children of Satan do. But now we have the name of Jesus Christ. If you saw an ambassador of another country, he was on your television perhaps, say the ambassador of Tanzania or America or some other place, let's say he's giving a speech and he's drunk and he can't get his words out and he's slurring them and he's forgetting what he's saying and he's just going round and repeating over and over, and then he's losing his notes and he's falling over and he's standing up. It's shame on the whole country, isn't it? You'll laugh at that whole nation and say, what kind of nation has an ambassador like this? Because you know he carries the name of his country to you. And we carry the name of Jesus Christ to others. And when we sin, it seems we're showing them what kind of person Christ is. And actually we're lying about him. And we're giving a false idea of him. We're bringing him down when he ought to be lifted up. What do you think about that name that you carry? And we will be taking the bread and the wine. Christ who gave his body and his blood. How do you value that? How do you value that name that's now upon you? As we're growing as Christians, we've already begun to say this, as we're growing, and we'll be seeing more accurately our own hearts, and that ought to humble us. The Apostle Paul, as a mature Christian, he wrote Romans chapter 7, and only a very knowledgeable, very advanced Christian could write the wonderful things we have in the book of Romans. And in chapter 7, he speaks about himself, he speaks about his experience, and he says things like this. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. And what I hate, I do. And he says, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. And it leads him to cry out to Christ for help. He says, wretched man that I am. And he thanks God for the Lord Jesus. And then he teaches us also that we have the Holy Spirit. So though we feel this way, yet we're making progress. But part of the progress is in knowing what we really are. But when they found in Nyayo House, down in the basement, they found those torture chambers, then the people of Kenya knew what the government had been doing during those years. And there was shame. We knew what was right at the heart of the country. And it was a shameful thing to find out what had been hidden, but now was in the light. And as we find and understand more of what's in our heart, we should feel ashamed. We're children of Adam, that we're corrupt. But if we're not daily repenting, if we're not having this attitude as part of our Christian walk, then we must be growing proud. Because if we don't realize that we have our sin to repent of, then it's pride, and God hates pride. Jesus told a story. A Pharisee went into the temple. He went to pray. He prayed about himself. He said, "I thank you, God, I'm not like other people. I thank you, I'm not like that sinner who's at the back over there." Now, I'm sure I never heard anybody pray that way amongst us. But if you don't have the attitude and heart of repentance, then you have the seeds of what the Pharisee had. You think you're not like other people who need to repent. The Apostle John wrote and said, "If anyone claims they're without sin, then they're a liar. The truth of God is not in them." Oh, I never heard anyone here say, "Oh, I have no sin." But if we're not walking in an attitude of repentance, then it seems we really believe it, even if we don't say it. If we don't actually put into practice continual repenting, then it's as if we're saying it, that, "Oh, I have no sin that needs repenting of." And John says we're in darkness. We do not know the truth. But we made God to be a liar, because that's the testimony he's given about us. So once is not enough. In fact, it should be more and more part of our experience. Well, that was negative. I want to also show from the Bible why it's good to be always repenting, why it's a positive thing. I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15, also Psalm 138 verse 6. So listen to this, Isaiah. "For this is what the High and Lofty One says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy. He says, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite or humble, sorrowful for sin, and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite." Psalm 138 verse 6. "Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from far off." So those are verses now. And now we sing the hymn, "Jesus, keep me near the cross." Why do we want to be near the cross? Because that's the safe place to be. Because that's where we know the love of Jesus that he has for us. Because there, if we're having our faith in him, then what the devil throws at us, we know it can't hurt us, because we know Jesus protects us. And when the devil accuses us of our sins, and we know that it's all been washed away by the blood of Jesus. When we're near the cross, we remember this present world is passing away. That all the things in it are passing away. And we don't want the glory of this world, because it's a doomed world. That we die to the world with Jesus, and we rise again with him. But what drives us near to the cross? It's when we know that we're sinners. Who did Jesus die for? He died for sinners. And so it's in repenting that we go to the cross and we get that safety and we get that blessing. You see, walking in repentance, having this contrite, this mourning heart, as Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn," It helps us to keep short accounts with God. Are you daily refreshing your account with God? Or are you having a growing burden of guilt which hasn't been confessed to God? Perhaps you can imagine quite easily, you have a relative, and at first you just owe him 10 shillings, but then your debt, it keeps increasing. You owe him 100 shillings. And what if you're not paying a little bit of it back each day, and it grows and it becomes 1,000 shillings? You let it grow and it becomes 10,000 shillings. And now you want to avoid that relative completely. If he rings on the phone, you won't answer. We know that people do these things. And if you hear that he's in the town, you'll make sure you're somewhere far away. Because you haven't kept the short accounts. You haven't kept paying just a little each day that would keep the account small. King David, there's a time he fell into sin and he went on without repenting of his sin. And he wrote about it in Psalm 32. And he said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped like in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." You see what he's saying? In the time before he repented, oh, it was weary, it was hard, it was like being in a desert with no water. He felt his bones were crying out and wasting away. I think this is one of the reasons why we have the Lord's Supper each week. Because it helps us to keep short accounts. It reminds us of the death of Christ and our need to confess our sins and to renew our vows to him regularly. It helps us in that way. Of course, you can't have the Lord's Supper just at home on your own each day. It's for the church. It's a meal together. But when we do come together, it reminds us of the gospel regularly. And it's a thing the Lord Jesus gave us for that purpose. So that's why we're doing it. God gives great promises to the humble. We read them in our readings. God is high. He's exalted. He lives in the high and holy place. But he also comes down and dwells with the one with a sorrowful heart. With a humbled heart. And in the verse of the psalm, God said, "But the proud ones, I just know them at a distance. I know them from afar off." So actually, here's a great promise for you. Do you want God to live close to you? Do you want him to come and dwell with you? Well, look to your heart. Is it a humbled heart? Are you confessing your sin? God himself will come and live with you if you are. If we're walking in daily repentance, people can believe our preaching to them. We tell them about the need to repent and turn to God. Can they see what you're talking about? Can they believe you? Can they see in your life a humbled heart? Or do they see in you a proud one? When we have these big men who are dressed so well, they live so well, they live so high above the people, and they talk to us about Jesus, who was so humble and who came down so low, we think there's something here that doesn't match. But also there's something that doesn't match if we speak about repentance and yet we're proud. But here's my final reason, final encouragement. It makes you a brother or a sister who's easy to walk with and to live with. If you are someone who is humble and sorry for their sins, make it easy to be with you together in the church. Imagine you had two brothers in your family, and one of them is sometimes stealing, sometimes cheating, sometimes lying to you, and you go to him and say, "My brother, why do you do this?" And he just says, "Do what? I've done nothing. And I don't care what things you're going to tell me. Just keep it to yourself. How are you going to live in the family home with a person like that? It's going to be painful and hard. But you have another brother. And that one takes something and doesn't give it back. And you go to them and say, "My brother, what have you done with that thing that you took from me?" And he says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I've done wrong. Let me pay it back to you." And then you're brought together again, aren't you? And fellowship continues and there's peace. And you're happy to live with such a person. Well, same in the church. If you've done wrong against someone, don't hide it. Don't cover it up. Just go to them and say sorry and put it right. Give back what you've taken. And then fellowship and love will continue. And there'll be peace. We'll be united. Do you want peace and love and fellowship in the church? Well, if we're humble before God, then we'll have it. But if we're all proud and wanting to rise up to some great place and push others back down out of the way, then we'll have trouble and strife. Do you want to be a sister or brother who's easy to walk with? Then repent daily. Now, how can we do this? We said why once is not enough. We said why it's good to keep repenting. But how can we do this? And I've got a few verses to read again to guide us. Luke chapter 17 verse 4. We've already had some of this just now. It says, If your brother sins against you 7 times in a day, and if he 7 times comes back to you and he says, "I repent," then forgive him. And Matthew chapter 6, again from the Lord's Prayer, repeating a little but also adding verses 9, 12, 14 and 15. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Because if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So practically, when you pray, to pray at the beginning of each day and pray at the end of each day. And in that prayer, you should confess sin and trust in the Lord Jesus in that prayer. God made you at the beginning of your life. God has set the day for the end of your life. God is the beginning. God is the end. And we should recognize that each day. Keep short accounts. I'm remembering confession of sin in the opening prayer of the day and the closing prayer of the day. As we pray, "Give me today my bread and my work," we should pray, "Give me today forgiveness for my sins." And as we pray like that, we should go often to Jesus and to the cross, because that's where we find the remedy. You know, if you're sick, the doctor may give you a thermometer, put it in your mouth or in your armpit, and he's reading the scale, and he's seeing how high it comes up. We can measure your spiritual temperature in your prayers. How much of Jesus and his death on the cross do we find? How much do we find of the one who loved us and gave himself for us, who was cursed for our sakes, and who gave us life by dying? How much of Jesus is there in your praying? So go there often in your prayers. Thank God often for Jesus. When we're saying keep repenting, we're not saying, "Oh, keep remembering sin and guilt so that it crushes you and so that you just feel so low because the whole weight is bearing down on you." No, we're saying, remember your sin and guilt and take it to Jesus and then be refreshed by his forgiveness as those sins are put behind and never brought up again. But when you confess your sins, make sure you confess your sins, your actual sins. Not just, "Oh, that you're a sinner." But if, say, it's the end of the day and you're praying to God, remember your sins of today. Now, our sinful nature doesn't want to do that. It wants just to forget about it. But remember the words you spoke too quickly today. Remember the times when you were lazy and you wasted an opportunity today. Remember some good deed you could have done and you couldn't be bothered to do it. Remember the sins of today and confess those and ask for help from the Holy Spirit to stop doing those sins. And when a new day begins tomorrow, ask God for help in this new day with those things which are your sins. If there was an army that came to attack and invade, where would we send our soldiers to fight them? You know, we wouldn't just throw up our weapons into the air and hope something hits them. But you have to take note where the enemy is and go straight for him. So in our prayers, we have to deal with our sins where they are. And the Bible says, we confess our sins also to one another. Now, this doesn't mean you confess every sin to someone else. It might be quite unhelpful. You know, if I start confessing my sins to one of the children here, it'll be too much for them. Or if I start coming and telling you something you had no idea about, it may be quite unhelpful for you. But if it's a sin I committed against you, if it's something I said to you or said about you, if it's something I took from you, then it's you I need to go and settle with. That's what the Bible means when it says confess your sins to one another. And then the Bible says if your brother comes saying I repent, and if he restores so his repentance is real, then you forgive him and you forgive him straight away. And you don't say, well, let me think about this. I'm going to think whether I'm going to forgive you or not. Because the thing you did was really bad. Let me decide. No, you forgive him straight away, just as Christ forgave you. If you forgive one another, Jesus said, your Father will forgive you. If you don't forgive one another, your Father won't forgive you. And that keeps us together. A divided army is a defeated army. When a house is divided against itself, it's going to fall. But we need to be aware of Satan's strategies. We need to renew our fellowship continually. And that keeps us going forward. So you see then, continual repentance is not bad. It's very good. What's bad is when we lose that heart. When we lose that attitude, we need to keep it continually a part of us because God dwells with the humble. You want God to dwell with you? Well, we've learnt what to do, so let's go and do it.